The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening. Welcome to the Dharma and the Creative Process. My name is Dawn Neal, and I'm going to give a short talk. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay, good. I'll give a short talk, and then we'll do a short, like maybe 5-minute break, and then reconvene for discussion. And so, lately I've been curious about the relationship between vulnerability and creativity. And noticed in myself and in other people with creative practices that there seems to be a direct link between these two things, at least at some level, for many of us. So I'm going to spend just a few minutes talking about how vulnerability can open us up to creative flow and to the stillness that exists inside of creative flow. This is from the book, The Spiritual in Art. The means by which today's best abstract art achieves its spiritual integrity are the same as they ever were, but they're now insisted upon with a greater urgency. Those means are silence and alchemy. I guess the alchemy in that really struck me. This alchemy is so directly related to the creative process, transformation, change, shifting one thing to another. So I have a couple of stories of how being with vulnerability simply and resting with it can open us up into the alchemy and the potentiality of the creative process, whatever your medium is. The first one is actually quite personal. It's from last month. And about 24 hours after this group met last month, I ended up in an unexpected surgery, ambulance, the whole thing. And as it turned out, I needed an appendectomy and didn't know it. Fortunately, someone else figured it out, and I got one. And it's a short but exciting period of time in the hospital. And then I got out and continued on with my plan to do first a self-retreat and then a meditation retreat. It was a perfectly timed accidental kind of surgery because I had nothing planned but to sit for the next 2 weeks, basically. And I finally got to the retreat center. And when I got up into the hall, I wasn't even sure I was able to meditate. I just went up there with the sole intention of being with this kind of shaky physical vulnerability that comes from just having had something like that happen. I went up there and just sat and rested, watching the body, watching the heart, kind of watching the mind, mostly watching the body and the heart. After doing this for a few days, the big shock for me, if I had not been too calm to be shocked, was that a field of really beautiful openness just kind of came up. And there was this total absence of any kind of contention or struggle at all. And into that totally open space flowed poetry. Language. I don't consider myself a poet, but when poems happen, they pretty much always happen on retreat. And this poem was a little bit different, or the two that came up Normally they feel like they're sort of from a wellspring inside. Many of you are probably familiar with this. There's some kind of movement inside. This felt like a download. And it really clearly felt like the practice was speaking to me and not the other way around. I was receiving practice instructions in the form of stanzas. And at a certain point, it became clear that it was precisely opening to that vulnerability without any expectation or any attempt to be good or have a technique that opened that process up. It was just being simple. So here's one of them. Where trees teach. It is time now to go. Go where trees teach you again how to breathe. Walk slowly, friend. Remember, pause and kneel and touch the moist grace of the earth. Let your skin soak with airborne song, for it is time to be healed, to quiver with the tenderness of a newborn thing. And with a soft sob of relief or loudly laughing, fall and be enfolded in loving awareness. Listen, the way is open. It speaks in every silence amidst this clamoring noise. So opening to the full range of experience is one of the gifts of opening to vulnerability. Along with that quivery shakiness, that newbornness can come joy, power, hope, and vast amounts of spontaneous and very intuitive energy. Are any of you familiar with the poet Naomi Shihab Nye, by any chance? Yeah, a couple of you. So I'm actually not going to read her poem because I think many people in this scene know one poem by Naomi, which is Kindness. But I am going to tell you the story that she told us of how that poem came into being. Have you guys heard this already? Huh? No, it's not the airport one. This one's called Kindness. It's the other really famous one. So Naomi is a beautiful human being. And her brand new husband had decided that they were going to honeymoon in Colombia against the advice of most of their family and friends. So they got down there. They're very excited. And the first thing they did, I think, was got on a public bus headed all the way down south in Colombia. Had all their stuff with them. And on some remote stretch of highway, the bus was attacked by bandits. It was bus jacked, basically. And the bandits boarded the bus and relieved every passenger in the bus of everything they owned. So they lost wallets, passports, all their clothing, all their stuff, everything. Second day in the country, maybe even the first day. Very unfortunately, someone actually lost their life on that bus, too, in the transaction. So it was quite a traumatic experience for them. But the bus driver did get them back up as a group to sort of the next town north. And there they were with nothing in this country, not even their passports. So they made their way back up to the Bogota, the main city. And then I think her husband had to go somewhere to deal with the passport issue. And she was sitting by herself on a park bench. Everything they had, all the food they had, where they slept, how they got around, was based on the kindness of strangers. Everything. And while she was sitting there, appreciating that and feeling this just phenomenal sense of vulnerability and of openness and of grief, this poem, she said it was dictated to her. She wrote it down. This, to me, points to what is for me one of the key principles, and one I honestly missed for years as an artist, which is the importance of community and kindness in the creative process. We have these notions in this culture of some creative types being sort of off-the-wall, isolated geniuses who are kind of half-crazy, right? You know, it's the Van Gogh, bad caricature of Van Gogh kind of idea. But as often as not, the opening can come from receiving support, connection, love, friendship, as well as from these just shocks to the system that she went through. A different kind of shock to the system happened to John Coltrane, and he wrote A Love Supreme, or when it wrote him. I heard this on NPR recently, maybe some of you did too. It was a big anniversary of A Love Supreme, so they did a little thing on him, and they were interviewing different people from his life. And he told the story of something that happened a few days or a week or so after he and his wife had had their first baby. And he was still managing to get up to his, I don't know if it was like a studio or an office or whatever, but he was writing. Like, he would go up the stairs and disappear late into the night. And his wife relayed the story that one night he just didn't come back down. And she was like making breakfast or giving the baby breakfast or something the next morning when John finally comes down from his studio. And she said, looking at him, she could just tell that something was different. He was glowing. And he just said to her, I've done it. And what he had done was listened to all of the love and vulnerability and tenderness of his adoration for this child. And it came pouring out in this music. He said he considered A Love Supreme to be a gift of love to the human race. And whether or not you like the piece of music, it's a really beautiful gift to offer, right? So tapping into joy. Then what happens when the creative flow stops? Stillness. There's different kinds of stillness, and the first kind I'm going to run into is the kind that many creative types really dread, which is writer's block, or the equivalent in whatever your field is, engineer's block, artist's block, you name it. There's a good friend of mine who's an extraordinarily talented writer. And in our conversations about creative process, she has talked about writing as being the music that just flows through. And she just, when the music is flowing, she writes. And when it doesn't flow, she doesn't write. A few years back, she lost her beloved spouse, her partner, of many years. And in the grief process, she said she lost the music, too. This can be disorienting, no matter what the reason is, to lose contact with that, whatever that flow is for each of us. It's also a frustrating experience. You're used to being able to tap into it. Creativity can feel blocked or dried up. But it is one form of silence and creativity. And my own experience suggests, I've been an artist for decades at this point, that it's really important to honor that kind of silence too, actually. And not to fight it. And it's not silence anymore, it's a tussle. It might feel like a block, but it's actually a fight, you know? For me, in my own creative life, there have always been seasons. There's dry seasons and there's wet seasons. And it's almost like the dry seasons need to be there in order to allow something new to manifest later. Before drawing from a deeper well, if you will. So this is from Rumi. It's about teaching, but I actually think it applies really well to creative process too. You are the only faithful student you have. All of the others leave eventually. Have you been making yourself shallow with making other eminent? Just remember, when you're in union, you have nothing to fear. The command comes to speak, and you feel the ocean move through you. Then comes, be silent, as when the rain stops and the trees in the orchard begin to draw moisture up into themselves. So there are beautiful forms of silence in creative process as well, not just the writer's block kind. The silence of the discursive mind as we go into a flow. The silence of learning to make space for our muse or our practice. That can measure in seconds or years. And then there's the silence of awe, of experiencing that which is created either by oneself or by someone else, or by nature. The last kind of stillness I'm going to mention is the stillness of not judging. The way in which creative process is so incredibly trustable, and that is much like the practice of meditation, right? When I first moved to San Francisco, I spent 7 years drawing in a drawing studio. This absolutely phenomenal figurative artist. And at least a third of every session that we drew together, we made these 30-second, 1-minute, 2-minute drawings, just fast, fast, fast. And part of that was to limber up, part of that was to get in flow, and part of it was, as he said, because you kind of have to make 1,000 crappy drawings before you can make a good one. So you may as well get them out of the way quickly. Those gestures really taught me something. They taught me how to make an authentic mark. You don't have time to think, plan, craft. You just have time to respond. Staying with vulnerability for me, resting with it, has led to another kind of authenticity. And that authenticity is really powerful in meditation, in creativity, in spiritual maturity. It's what allows everything else to move without me trying to game it too much from my small mind. Brené Brown, the extremely well-known shame researcher, has a quote about vulnerability. This is from her book, Daring Greatly. We are drawn to vulnerability in others. We love seeing it, but we hate experiencing it in ourselves. See the paradox there? Kind of amazing. So, being simply with that kind of vulnerability, for me, it's almost like, I was going to say breadcrumb trail, but it's almost more like moving through a series of ever-deepening levels, maybe going down a staircase, or like it's one of those spiral staircases where you can kind of see the floors as you go down, you know? And each level gets to another more expansive and more real and more integral way of meeting the mind, the heart, the body, and the creative process. This is another quote from that book, Spirituality in Art, or The Spiritual in Art. Silence in art is an ever-increasing process of distillation and condensation. In other words, it's a process of purification. Purification is one of the words for the process of meditation in this tradition too, actually. But what I love about this notion of distillation and condensation is that we actually don't need to do that much for it to happen. It's a natural process. We set the conditions and it'll occur. Sometimes that kind of beautiful distillation or that stillness becomes even more apparent if we just open up to whatever the flow is in the moment. We don't try to guide it too much. We just let it speak. Thank you for your kind attention. Take